Fox and Kaylin's voices in my head. Asking. Worrying. Tia. Tia. Tia! Kaylin's control faded. I took over. I could feel nothing but minds all around me. Michaela and Althea's grief. Zoya and Khalid's horror. Fox's anger and hatred. And Kaylin, anguished and stunned and loving. But the heartbreaking, wrenching silence of Polaire's mind was the loudest noise of all. From somewhere nearby, I watched myself scream, and the world screamed with me. The Aussie screamed at my anguish, and Einat too screamed as I punched brutally into her mind. The dark surrounded me, filling me in ways I had never imagined before, filling me to the brim until I overflowed with darkness. I welcomed the power, desperate to feel more than the heartache I could not prevent. I expected the sickeningly sweet dark rot, the anger and the rage to slowly eat away at my mind. But with every new surge of power came only fervor and impatience, the realization that I still had room to take in more of it. And more. And still more. Sparks flew from my fingers as I traced more runes, lingering on their curves and hidden corners. I had too much of the dark in me. Too much for even the faceless to counter. And I wrested control of the Aussie from her one last time. I remembered my short foray into Usij's mind, remembered the atrocities I had seen committed there, and twisted those images so that to Einar's mind, she was undergoing the knife and its pain and blood. The faceless wriggled on the ground like she was live meat on a hook. And still I saw more visions. I saw memories of burning and loss. The dead child she held in her arms while she screamed at the gods, pleading at first and then rejecting them completely. I watched the trail of bones and corpses she left behind her as she moved from Arin Kosho to Odalia, to Kion and Yadosha. It amassed decades of cruelty and blood. I saw her wars against the Asha of the Willows, battles fought as she raised Deva after Deva, only to be repelled by bone witches that came before me. I rifled through Einar's mind, my desire to find her truth stronger than my revulsion for the bloodshed spinning through her thoughts. Then the scenes changed. The Asha no longer appeared as adversaries but as collaborators. I saw Mistress Hestia, and my blood ran cold.
They cannot know!
They were Mistress Clave, Mistress Jolene, and Mistress Fatima. Upstanding members of the association, all. Mistress Hestia held the Faceless's book in her hands.
Michaela is too powerful, Mistress Hestia said. She shall be better off without her heart's glass. Best to keep her alive, at least till the next bone witch comes along.
The vision faded, but my wrath grew. Telamain started forward, but Khalid was faster. He slammed an elbow into his father's stomach, and when the Elder King grunted and lowered his blade, Khalid wrested it away, landing his father on the other end of its point.
No!
Einar begged. The images I inflicted were invisible to everyone else, but she suffered with them. Yet to see her twisting and writhing on the floor at her memories was not enough. I wanted to kill her. I wanted to do more than kill her. Einar raised her head. Her eyes focused not on mine but on my heart's glass. A cross between a wail and a giggle rose in her throat.
It's happening,
she gasped.
It's happening.
Oh, dear.
I did not want to hear her voice ever again. The woman's eyes widened as I forced my final compulsion on her, fixing her mouth shut and rendering the rest of her immobile. Even without my influence, I could sense the Aussie's thirst mixed with our shared revulsion for the woman who had made our lives a living hell for so long. The faceless made a strangled, hacking noise as the Aussie moved toward her. I saw her eyes, wide with fright. And I reveled in her forthcoming destruction. I fed off her growing fear. The woman warbled through unmoving lips. In her head, I could feel her shrieking, shrieking, shrieking. And it was a splendid melody. All three of the Aussie's heads dove down toward the faceless, their mouths open. There was a loud, sickening crunch of bone. King Telamain gaped at the body that had once been his lover, still twitching as my pet consumed her. He backed away from me, but I did not waver. Even in the worst of my rage, a part of me knew that to kill him would mean my head. Whatever crimes he had committed, the dark rot was fierce inside me, warping my desires. My desire was grotesque and cruel, hollering for more blood, for more vengeance. It was easy enough. I luxuriated in the king's fright. I allowed my magic to sink into every pore of him until his consciousness was steeped in my hatred. For the rest of your life, this is all you shall have of your lover. A vision of her as living carrion, I whispered to him. You will relive this moment in your mind for the rest of your days, and it will be all that you shall remember. Your lust for power blinded you, causing immeasurable pain to those you should have protected. Now you shall watch with open eyes and see. An agonized scream erupted from Telamain. He clawed at his eyes. Khalid and Zoya rushed to his side, fighting to restrain him. I left him there in a heap, removing my presence from the Aussie's head so it could enjoy its feast in peace. But I managed only a few steps before I was on the ground, struggling to breathe. Michaela held the lifeless Polaire in her lap with Alticia beside her, their faces washed in tears. Lick's legs had given way, his hands over his mouth. Zoya stared at me. In their gazes I found shock and repulsion. And Fox. Oh, the expression on my brother's face. I felt shame. Not for killing Einar and destroying Telamain, but for the way he looked at me. The fear rippling through him. I reached out for Polaire, wove the resurrecting rune. I can bring her back, I thought. I am so filled and so alive with the dark, I can do anything. She will return to nag me for my shortcomings and bully me into doing everything she wanted. But the Asha did not move. My spell barreled into her twice and thrice and four times and seven and 14 and 20 until I began screaming into her quiet mind to live. To live! To live, damn you!
Tia, Kaelin said hoarsely. Stop. Please stop.
The right side of my body felt sticky and warm, and I began to shiver. Kaelin's arms circled me, the heart-share rune flaring once more before his presence took over every inch of my being. Warm and inviting. The only forgiveness in the room I could find. The dark rot melted away as I let go of the power for an emotion greater than hate. And sobbing, allowed the soothing murmur of his voice to carry me away into darkness.
There was only silence, broken in moments by the sounds of weeping. The monsters were dead. The creatures that had once been Asha lay strewn in bloodied heaps around us. Grotesque even in death, with their stiffened limbs and gaping mouths. They retained their monstrous forms, their secret selves exposed for the world to see. Some of the Bone Witch's Deva lay injured too. The Aishma's spikes had retracted from its body to reveal graying fur. The Torvi still sang, though its legs were broken, half its face covered in blood. The Nongate was silent on the ground, its many eyes closed. Even the Azi, the most powerful of the lot, was bleeding, one of its wings bent and bitten. The Zarek, Indar, and Akvan were conscious and standing, though limping as they plodded back and forth between their brethren, their mournful cries loud in the stillness. The dark Asha sat on the ground, her face bathed in tears. Lady Michaela lay in her arms, pale and silent. Blood covered her hua, spilling on the floor around them. I could feel magic sizzling nearby and saw the Bone Witch's heart's glass beat in tandem with the injured woman's. Kalad and Kaelin flanked Lady Tia, their hands pressed against Michaela's side, trying in vain to stop the blood flow before it grew worse. Beside me, a low cry of pain rose from Fox. I have seen my share of dying people, and I knew with one look that there was no hope.
"Why did you save me?"
the dark Asha cried. The golden-haired Asha's eyes opened. They focused on her, and she smiled.
"I have always tried to save you. It is not so bad, child." "You cannot die on me, Mickey."
The dark Asha had vanished, and in her place was a 17-year-old girl, frantic to save the life of the woman who had so profoundly shaped hers.
"Everything I do, everything I have done, means nothing if you leave me." "I have been living on borrowed time for so long, Tia."
A bloodied hand stroked the weeping girl's cheek.
"When my hours are spent, I will feel no fear, no sorrow. I have lived on borrowed time, time that you have risked your life and heart for. I am at peace, Tia. Thank you."
"No!"
The girl's heart's glass shone bright, black and light swirling together. Lady Michaela's smile was beautiful, though blood trickled from the corners of her mouth.
"No, Mickey!"
The Bone Witch clutched at her arms, and for a moment, I thought I saw a strange symbol burning between them.
"Don't let go!"
"I am going to Vaynir now, and to Polaire. They have been waiting for me."
The woman touched the girl's face one final time.
"Be well, Tia,"
she whispered, and the light in her heart's glass went out. The dark Asha's scream tore through the air. Her heart's glass glowed, for the first time more silver than dark, as she wove the air with desperate movements. The woman in her arms did not move. The dark Asha tried again, forming the same gestures over and over. I could feel the heat of the spells, the desperation and smolder of the magic, but Lady Michaela's eyes remained closed. "Tia," Kaelin took her hand, stilling her. She turned to him, her eyes blazing.
"Why? Why can't I raise her? I raised you! I raised you, and I can't raise her!"
"Tia," the Death Seeker said again, and she fell silent. She collapsed onto his chest, her arms still clutching the fallen Asha. She howled at the sky, a savage sound. The Heart Forger, tears streaming down his cheeks, knelt by the dark Asha's side. Lord Fox sat beside Lady Tia, his hand finding hers. His other closed around Lady Michaela's. They held her in their arms for the longest time, without moving, without speaking. The moon rose and the stars ascended, but the dark Asha and her two familiars remained. "Tia," Kaelin finally said again, with great sorrow in his voice.
"A few minutes longer,"
the Bone Witch whispered.
"Let me stay with her for a few minutes longer."
32.
I could order you to rot in prison for the rest of your natural days. That's what I should do as king. That's what the people would clamor for.
I agreed, but kept my head bowed. In the hours after sanity returned and the dark rot faded, I had tried to undo the chaos I had wrought. But the damage to Telamain was already done. The king was confined to his personal chambers, where no one but his sons and his physicians could enter. I had exorcised the demons in his mind that I had put there in my pride, but I could not take away the nightmares I had ingrained in his head. The rest of Odalia had been kept in the dark, but his healers could do little. The king had gone mad.
"This is treason. By law, I could order your death."
I said nothing in my defense. Prince Kontz had every right to proclaim such a sentence. I could feel Fox and Kaelin on either side of me. Their presence is always a comfort.
"Look at me, Tia."
I did. A part of me still rejoiced to see him awake and well, bearing no lingering effects of the sleeping illness. But Prince Kontz no longer looked at me with kindness or affection. There was no more Lady Tia in a pleased voice. The green eyes staring back at me were those of a stranger's. "His Majesty's," I corrected myself. "Not my friend." Kontz ruled Odalia now. And I was to blame for that, too.
"What do you say on your behalf, Tia?"
"I will accept any punishment you choose, Your Majesty." How could I sound so cold and informal? "My life is in your hands to do as you see fit."
"Kontz." Kaelin moved to stand beside me. "You know as well as I that Tia had no choice but to act as she did." "It does not matter. She lifted her hand against the king." "Your father killed his own brother to take the throne, Kontz. Both his brothers. Even worse, he conspired with a faceless to risk the kingdom in his quest for power. By your own logic, he too is guilty of treason." "He was my father, Kaelin!"
Kontz's shout echoed in the room.
"He took you in when you lost your parents. He treated you like you were his own son. I looked to you as my own brother. And this is how you repay him? Your father's mistress was responsible for summoning the very Deva that killed our mothers, Kontz. Telamain threw my father in prison when my father discovered the plot. And the king had the faceless compel him to carry out their orders. The king allowed Aenna to poison you. He clawed his way to the throne on the bones of his own family, including yours. You owe him nothing. Don't you think I know that? Whatever my father has done, I cannot allow people to besmirch his name. But how can I determine if he was in his right mind throughout all this? That the faceless didn't compel him as well? Now we will never know. Whatever accusations have been made against him, he was a good father, Kaelin."
"He was a good father to one of us, yes,"
Khalid said from behind us.
"Even my own brother turns against me?"
Prince Kant snapped. The Heart Forger shook his head.
"I was never against you, though he tried to make it seem that way. He capitalized on your guilt for taking the throne. Father was good to you, Kontz. He would have had you rule in my place, with or without my Silver Heart's glass."
"But why? There was no reason to prevent you from being king."
"Our father was enlightened in many ways, Kontz. But he shared one thing in common with the intolerance of Dricht. You suspected as much the day you took sick."
Kontz rubbed his temple.
"Why didn't you tell me about this, Khalid? Surely you did not think that I shared in his prejudices."
"Because it never should have been a problem to begin with. I had no obligation to tell anyone about my personal life if I chose not to. I confessed to Father in the hopes he would understand. It is one thing to be treated well because he thinks you can do no wrong, Kontz. It's another thing entirely when he decides you've outlived your usefulness."
"You can have the throne, Khalid. I never intended to take it from you."
And that is exactly why I never told you, Your Majesty.
Cullet grinned.
I would have made a horrible king. Father and I agreed on that much. To be the next Heartforger is all I want. I'll help people my way, and you'll help them yours. But please, forgive Tia. She has served you faithfully. Do not punish her for your father's crimes.
The young king's hands were trembling. For all his anger, he was finding my sentencing difficulty, and my heart twisted, knowing what I had done to bring him such pain. When he finally spoke, even his words shook.
Return to Odalia at your own peril, Dark Asha. I do not wish to see your face in my kingdom for as long as I live, for any reason. Return here, and I'll wield the executioner's sword myself if I have to.
I nodded, struggling to hide my tears and failing miserably.
Now leave.
The new king's heart's glass glowed a bright red, fierier and more royal than I had ever seen any king's.
You are being unfair, Kantz,
Kaelin said.
I am doing what must be done for the safety of my kingdom, Kaelin. I do not need your approval. But you need Telamene's. That's what you have always wanted but rarely gotten. Do not raise your voice to me, Kaelin!
Barely even a week, Your Majesty, and already you sound so very much like your father. Has the crown always been this heavy?
The two cousins locked gazes. Kantz was angry and Kaelin sad. But after several moments, the fury drained from the royal noble's face, and he turned away.
I have been asleep for so long that I no longer recognize my own friends upon waking. I release you from your vow to protect me, Kaelin. I cannot ask that from you any longer, knowing what my father did to yours. Do whatever you wish. The same goes for you, Khalid.
Then I shall stay here a while longer,
Khalid decided. Kantz looked surprised.
I haven't been around as much as I should have, given my duties as the Forger's apprentice. We have some catching up to do, Kantz.
The king hesitated.
I would like that.
Kantz looked back at me again.
Go with the gods, Tia.
There was not as much anger in his voice, but the regret in its timbre hit me harder.
May you one day put to rest the demons that still hold you.
Why didn't you defend yourself?
Fox asked me as we left the palace.
You know you had no choice in what happened.
But I did. I shouldn't have raised a hand against Telamene. Guilty or not, he was the king. Kantz deserved every chance to hear the old king's deception from his own mouth, with his own words. I took that away from him. I closed my eyes. If you had been stronger, a voice inside me whispered. If you had been better, then Telamene would be sane and Polaire would need not be dead. Shouldn't you be with Anessa?
She understands.
We have different lives to lead, and sharing a bond makes that much more difficult. I don't know what you want to do, but if we have an option to break our—
No!
My brother leaned forward and wrapped me in a fierce hug.
We need someone in our heads to tell us whenever we're being idiotic. It's the Pahlavi way.
I returned his embrace. But we don't need to be in each other's heads all the time. The best thing you can do for me is to live the life you want, Fox. And I know that is with Princess Anessa. I'm fine. I've been exiled. But Kantz isn't going to lop off my head. He glared at me.
Are you reading my thoughts again?
A wise man once said, we need someone in our heads to tell us whenever we're being idiotic. It's the Pahlavi way. Fox sighed.
I'll get the horses. Best to leave Neve before Kansa's second thoughts.
As my brother took his leave, Kaelin said,
You're good at hiding things from him, despite your bond.
How would you know that? I asked.
I've been with you long enough and can tell that Fox doesn't read heart's glass.
Polaire's death wasn't your fault, Tia.
Then whose fault was it? I brought these events to fruition. I killed Aena. I drove the king mad. If I was responsible for those happenings, why can't I be responsible for anything else?
Tia.
Kaelin's hands were on my shoulders. He did not argue. He shared no words in my defense. But his eyes were soft and his heart's glass glowed several brilliant shades of white. How strange it is, I thought, that Kaelin knows my guilt, knows my culpability, and yet it doesn't matter to him. You cannot let your cousin dismiss you like that, I whispered. You cannot let what I did affect your relationship with Kantz.
It doesn't matter. As soon as I learned that Telamane was responsible for my mother's death and my father's imprisonment, I knew I could not stay here in this kingdom. We will mend our bridges one day.
He took my hand.
I am no longer of the prince's guard, nor his protector. I have no position to speak of other than Death Seeker and nothing but the sword on my back. I am not sure how much use I can be to you.
You really are a bum-ass. I kissed his hands. If it wasn't for me, you would not have lost favor with Kantz, and I will always bear that burden.
What are you planning, Tia?
The Elder Asha are complicit in all this intrigue. Vanner said they did not conspire with Aena, but I saw them in her head, Kaelin. They shared common goals. Enough that the Elder Asha were willing to look the other way when it came to Mickey's heart's glass. I hold them just as responsible for Polaire's death as... Saying her name provoked another fresh bout of tears. I have to find out, Kaelin. For my peace of mind. I want to know why the Elders are keeping secrets from the other Asha. I want to know why they wanted Michaela's heart's glass to stay hidden. Whatever falsehoods Aena said, in this I know she spoke the truth. The Elder Asha are not what they claim to be. You should return to Holzrath and mourn.
Are you turning me away, Tia?
His fierceness broke my heart. I can't ask you to stay. You just lost your father.
I lost him a long time ago, Tia. I'll mourn in my own way. And it won't need to be at Ulzrath.
But there's something wrong with me, Kaelin. I unfastened my cloak, letting the fabric fall down my shoulders. My heart's glass gleamed in the fading light. Amid the hues of silver were the telltale flecks of black swimming in and out of view. Aena talked about black heart's glass, and I can feel it starting within me. I killed her so brutally, and even now I feel no remorse. Kantz was right. Fox was right. I am changing, and not for the better. I don't want anyone else to die. I stumbled over the words. I don't want to lose you.
You will never lose me, Tia.
Kaelin kissed me gently.
And your heart's glass is all the more reason for me to be by your side. Turn me away if you want to, but that will not stop me from following your lead.
Promise me one thing, I said. In the days after Polaire's death and Telamane's madness, I could feel the darkness swirling inside me grow. The urge to give in to the dark rot became more appealing than ever. I felt no guilt over Aena's death. And even with Telamane, my conscience was affected only because he was Kantz's father. But that darkness eased whenever Kaelin was near. I knew I would not break his trust for even the sweetest of the dark. I remembered the comfort of his heart's glass when I had lain injured in the gardens. His heart's share warming me like no antidote could. Don't let me become a monster like Einar, Kaelin.
You aren't a monster, Tia.
Not when you are with me, I'm not. I closed my eyes and lifted my face so Kaelin's lips could find mine. With you by my side, I thought, I could never be a monster.
It was early dawn. She watched the sun rise and the stars fade beyond her reach. Her Deva were gathered around her, like children devoted to their mother, and the Death Seeker was at her side. She had healed them with her blood and a touch, but she remained fractured and broken herself, the never-healing scars inside her soul bearing the names of friends long gone.
"You were right, Kaelin," she whispered. "We should have run, as far as we could, for as long as we could. I thought I had nothing left to lose, but I keep being proven wrong, time and time again. Stupid, so stupid. I will not lose Kalad. I will not lose Fox. I will not lose any more of the friends I abandoned in Keon and Odalia. Let us finish this. I..."
The dark Asha's voice wavered. She took a deep, shuddering breath. When she spoke again, the steel in her voice had returned.
"Let us finish this."
The Deva rose to their feet. I moved, but she stopped me.
"You will not be going with us, Bard.
You promised me your story," I reminded her.
"My war is with Dricht, Bard."
She smiled grimly at the stunned look on my face.
"It would be dangerous enough for you to return there alone, even without a bone witch and her familiars as company. I have already given you part of my story in the pages you have received. The rest are here in these letters addressed to my brother. Stay with him. He still knows so little. It would ease my mind if you would enlighten him."
The Ozzy lowered its body to the ground, and the bone witch and her familiar climbed up.
"Tia!"
Lord Fox and Princess Inessa ran toward us.
"What are you doing?"
"I killed Aina, and I have killed Usij. There is one last faceless to attend to."
She wore two heart's glass around her neck, her own, still black as night, hollow knife's heart, and Usij's, now blade that soars.
"And when Druge is dead, I shall complete Shadow Glass."
"Stay, Tia,"
the princess pleaded.
"The Asha are willing to talk. The emissaries of the other kingdoms are prepared to hear what you have to say. Isn't that what you wanted?"
The bone witch shook her head, her voice raw when she spoke.
"The Asha will not like what I have to say. The remaining elders would make sure of that, and their companions' deaths will only be laid at my door. Kings and emperors fear change. It's far too late for simple conversation now, Inessa. There is only one way to end this, and I will not risk any more of you."
"Any risk you take will be mine as well."
Lord Fox sounded hoarse. "Or have you forgotten our bond?" The dark Asha smiled at him.
"Distill the juices of the first harvest into a familiar's heart to take back what death had decreed," she quoted,
her hand on the faint, silver-like heart's case around her throat, and the man's eyes widened.
"Do you remember? You should. You were angry at me once for even suggesting it."
"You can't!"
"Can't I?"
She raised a hand to the sky, fingers grasping at something invisible to my eyes.
"What's one more lie to believe when I am just a scheming, murderous bone witch, constantly seeking stars beyond her reach? Most people reject the truth, Fox. Lies are sweet to the palate, but the truth is often spat out, bitter and rancid. Politeness and veracity have never walked hand in hand. But when I die, at least I shall die knowing my eyes were open, looking at all there was to see. And when that day comes, I will make sure you have no part to suffer in it."
Her voice dropped, gentled.
The bard has my letters. It would do you good to read them. Be well, Fox. If we are doomed to give our lives for missions good and great, then at least let mine be for you.
No!
The Ozzy lifted off the ground, its wings spreading. All the Deva roared as one, and from the towering Nongate to the spike-ringed Eshma to the crooning Torvi, they moved to follow. None of the soldiers were mad enough to block their path. We could do little but watch, Sir Fox and I, as the beasts retreated into the distance. The breeze came as the last of them disappeared over the horizon. In it, I smelled, strangely enough, the faint salt of the sea. I looked down at the papers in my hands, the dark Asha's parting gift, pages I had yet to read.
I have always known darkness, she had written in the first line of the first letter.
Lord Fox broke my reverie. We break camp within the hour, he ordered. Tell the men we shall leave first for Keon and then to Dricht. And I knew the story was far from over.
The World of the Bone Witch, The Eight Kingdoms. Ystera, the coldest among the Eight Kingdoms, has gone to war with Triseo over the Heartsbane Islands in the past and still shares some animosity. Separated from Triseo by the River of Peace. Capital, Farson. Current ruler, King Rindorvik of House Petralta. Triseo, composed of mostly dense woods and wide plains. Population is concentrated mainly in cities, with small scatterings of villages throughout. Capital, Highgard. Current ruler, Tsar Camulus of House Ambersturg. Denoris, mild to moderate weather, most populated kingdom. Capital, Santiong. Current ruler, Emperor Shifang. Yodosha city-states. The whole continent was originally the kingdom of Yodosha, but infighting among the royal descendants soon splintered it into several warring states and shrunk their dominion into only its upper continent. While each city-state maintains a high degree of independence, all share one main government to foster ties and maintain diplomatic missions. Each city-state has a second minister to govern them. Every 7 years, a first minister is elected among the second ministers to represent Yodosha as a whole. Capital, Nun. Current ruler, First Minister Stefan. Keon. Once a part of Yodosha, many kingdoms conquered and fought over this land before Keon was able to achieve its independence through Vernasha of the Roses, a legendary Asha. A melting pot of culture and the main headquarters of the Asha. Smallest land among the kingdoms. Capital, Ankyo. Current ruler, Empress Alex of House Imperial. Odalia. Composed of plains and forests. Originally a part of the kingdom of Yodosha, but was the first in the continent to rebel and break off into its own kingdom. Capital, Neve. Current ruler, King Telamane of House Odalia. Aran Kosho. Large group of islands on the Swift Sea, near Odalia and Keon. Capital, Hottenheim. Current ruler, Queen Lenoria of House Imperial. Dricht. Desert Kingdom. Also notable for its austere and extreme perspective generally held in contempt by most of the other kingdoms, but tolerated for the runeberry cloth it provides. Only the western continent of Dricht is heavily populated. The majority of the kingdom is made of sand. Capital, Adra'al. Current ruler, King Adil of the Tavronu clan. This concludes the reading of The Heartforger by Rin Chupeco. Copyright 2018 by Rin Chupeco. This book was read by Emily Wu Zeller and Will Damron. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Sourcebooks and was produced in 2018 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK.
That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.